Roger.
Okay, I think you're pulling the wrong one.
Okay, I'm ready to pull it down now. There was still a little bit left in the...
Okay, don't hold it quite so tight. Okay?
No. Stand by. Stand by.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. This is how it's gonna start.
Pikachu!
Who's gonna go see Pikachu? Welcome to Live to Tape, the podcast of the name I just said. This is your boy Kevin Tipcorn, aka known as Lil Kevy T. Number one place to be. Stand back and slap me for free. Double up ducks. Make them wish they had butt. Ducks got a butt. This is the Executive Buffet. Your hands are fully on the branch right now, in case you're wondering. We are inside of a hot tub, broadcasting from on top of a small mountain in the Middle Ranges. Thank you for being here. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for rating and reviewing the podcast. If you haven't rated and reviewed the podcast yet, then I'm not going to thank you for doing that until you do it. It's easy to do it. All you do is you go to the place you get your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you get it, and you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Also, check us out on Patreon. It is patreon.com/live to tape. All kinds of extra goodies available for you there. Let down your hair. Nobody's going to look at you. Nobody will stare.
The song in the background right now is called Birdman from Richard In Your Mind.
Other things of note, I've got cool shows coming up at the Lyric Hyperion, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Those are all at 10 p.m. I'm doing new material, new cool, crazy, fun stuff. Come check those out if you live in Los Angeles. That's April 23rd, 24th, 25th. I'll be on tour this summer. I have a bunch of new dates coming, but right now, the only thing I have set is Chicago at the Hideout on the 15th of July. Minneapolis, the Parkway Theater on the 19th of July, and I'll be in Des Moines, Iowa on the 20th of July. More dates coming from places in and around those locations, but just basically block off July, okay? If you live in the United States, if you live in North America, just do me a favor, block off July, okay?
Just block off July.
Just take July and block it off, okay? Yeah! Now we're getting into the meat of the podcast. This is a super special, great, fun one. You're going to love it. Dig deep. Make a big heap from what you've dug. And save it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Enjoy.
Minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
New music.
Doesn't that sound crazy?
It sounds insane.
It sounds like
like a fucking whore.
It sounds like an anxiety attack.
Sometimes I kind of like stuff that sounds like an anxiety attack.
I've woken up feeling like how this sounds.
Really?
Yeah.
What time did you wake up?
Yeah. I woke up at 7 today.
Really?
Do you ever feel like it's bad to ask someone when they woke up? Like, it's almost accusatory just to ask.
Oh, especially if it's not the kind of answer that they want to be giving you. Like, if they're like, it's 10, then they're like, and then they give you an excuse. I like to wait for the excuse.
Oh, the excuse of, well, I did have late night.
Right, yeah. Well, I mainly work at night, so it makes sense that I did that. And I was like, no one's accusing you.
I can't stand it. I feel like even...
You don't like being asked?
Well, I was projecting just now. I realized that recently that basically everything in my life is projecting all things. So if I ask someone, okay. What time did you got up today? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You got up at 7? Oh, wow. That's pretty early, actually. It's pretty early. Wow. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess I didn't get up that early, so I feel like shit. And then if they get up at 10, I'm like, oh, wow.
That's actually pretty sad. Yeah.
But maybe it's okay? Like they're super happy and they got up at 10 and I'm like...
Yeah, you know maybe they had. Maybe that's just their routine. Maybe they like that.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's a projection thing.
There's definitely a silent judgment element to that question. Yeah. Oh, it's Beck. It's 7 a.m.
It's like I'm gonna rap over this. Like, you know, those rappers, like, I don't do it to me, Satan, what the fuck sold me.
Yeah.
This is not that. This is this guy, Lewis Cole. Have you ever heard him before?
Mm-mm.
He's a modern guy. He's doing music right now. He's a real weirdo. He makes stuff. He plays like every instrument.
Where is he from?
I think he lives here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's a cool looking redheaded dude who wears like, he's a, you know what I call him? He's a far out cat.
He's a far out cat living in the modern age?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds.
I met him once and I'm obsessed with his music now.
Man,
it's all like this weirdo, like synthy R&B shit.
It's nice.
Some of it is just great.
I don't know enough about like local music here. I've been really bad.
I know nothing
about finding stuff.
Well, this is it. This is all I know. Is this?
This is good.
There's all
Lewis Cole.
Lewis Cole.
Yeah,
Lewis, we're blowing you up. Come on the fucking podcast,
yeah,
buddy.
Come on the fucking podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
When do you think he got up today?
Musicians don't get up kind of late.
I think musicians tend to get up late. Yeah.
Right. That's kind of their thing. I think it's cool when they do it.
I think maybe a lot of them now are getting up early though. That's sort of the new thing. You know how a lot of comedians now aren't drinking, evidently.
I know.
Which I think is not true.
I think that they're just doing it. Secretly. Do you remember when I saw you the other day and you were like, is that Mike's Hard Lemonade? And I was like, yeah, it is.
And I was like, you know what? Anytime I see someone day drinking, like that, anytime I see someone do that, I am always like, you're cool.
Thank you so much. I was trying to hide it from everyone on the patio. Yeah. It was like wedged between my leg and my other shit.
You know, I have a weird thing now where I can... I can smell
booze on someone's breath, like, immediately.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't
know. Like, any kind?
It happens all the time now. I will encounter someone, and I'm just like, it's like this thing, because our realtor we used last year, pretty sure he's a very sweet man, but I'm pretty sure he's a drunk.
What, like a high functioner?
I don't know if he's high functioning. I would say he's just, you know.
He was realting though. He was doing okay.
Yeah, he did the job. He did the base of the job. But I think he might be. There's like a couple telltale signs. Not that it's like a. I'm not saying this as a what do you call it when you judge someone or like an admonishment. More just
sure.
Like
just an observation.
Yeah, you notice. Like I had to go to do a show the other night at this bar last night, and the guy who carded me, first he looked like he just got off a fucking like a ship. Like a dirty.
Was he like what? Like in a breezy way or in a bad way?
Like in like a, oh, you're working, you work with your hands.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
A dirty sweater.
He's a salt of the earth guy.
Salty, dirty sweater. Like a hoary beard.
Uh-huh.
Like a hoary, unkempt beard.
Like there's stuff caught in there and stuff. Yeah.
He looked
a
little bit, what I like to say is, unwashed.
He looked maybe a bit of a dirty fellow.
Yeah, he looked a little bit unwashed.
Yes.
I think unwashed is maybe the grossest thing you can possibly say, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds so mean, too, but it sounds worse than dirty for some reason.
Yeah.
To tell someone what they didn't do instead of what they are.
Yeah, something about unwashed always makes me think of, like someone, like some rich older white man being interviewed by the police.
And he's saying she was unwashed.
Yeah, like describing why it wasn't his fault that something happened.
Or it was an unwashed person that I hit with my car.
And he approached me and he was clearly unwashed. Or like a pedophile talking about something like that. Like just saying of unwashed. But this guy was clearly unwashed.
He was not washed.
And he asked me. He asked me for my ID as he's walking in.
Yeah.
And this is after I'd already been in once because the show was starting so late. And I was like, you know, being Mr. Pissy. Mm-hmm. So I started walking around the block, you know, work on my jokes.
Yeah.
And I go back in there and thinking, I'm going to go back in the same way I did before, which is no encumbrance to entry. No gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And this guy shows up and he asked me for my ID. And I was like, I kind of jokingly said, do you work here? I could also smell alcohol in his breath, right?
Oh, wow. So he's like, he's unwashed. He's actively unwashed.
Unwashed. Yeah. Smells like he looked like an actual sailor. Because sailors love to drink. They hate to wash.
I know. And I hate to play those sailor stereotypes, but I've met them.
Have you ever met an actual sailor?
I dated a sailor. Yeah.
This is good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Live to Tape with Johnny Pemberton. My guest today is Jamie Loftus, a comedian, entrepreneur.
a business owner.
She runs a great shelter for geckos.
Yes.
The Southeastern Gecko Exchange. Mm-hmm.
It's a small place, but they rest on my body at night.
All proceeds go to the SEC chairman, Janet Yellen.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
good friend of mine.
She's great.
She's incredible.
I mean, she's got a lot of conflicts of interest, but
I mean, talk about someone who's washed.
Yes, that is a very clean woman.
She's say what you will about her. She's very clean.
Talk about dating a sailor. We're just getting right into it.
I met him when I was like 9, so I didn't know he was going to be a sailor.
Where were you?
I was at home.
Where did you grow up?
Brockton, Massachusetts.
Brockton?
Yeah.
Brockton.
Brockton is a wild place.
Is that north or south?
Southern Massachusetts, like closer to Rhode Island. So like the closer you get to Rhode Island, the weirder.
So it's more like people who are like just always outside going like, this
sort of. There's because Massachusetts, like it's like one of the only like diverse cities in Massachusetts.
Brockton is?
Brockton. They get a lot of flack.
Why? Because they have non-whites?
Well, yeah, and then it just because it's like the whole like all of Southern Massachusetts, everyone's just like mean to them.
Yeah.
To them. I mean, they're also mean
to Brocktonites.
Yeah, but like other people in like the super white suburbs are always shitting on Brockton because they just like they suck.
Okay.
Or that's my take on it.
Yeah, as a
Brocktonite. I love Brockton. I'm third generation Brockton.
Damn.
So I take my Brockton very seriously.
You gonna go back to sire or brood?
I gotta go. I wish that there was more to do in Brockton, but they got a great Taco Bell.
TikTok.
They got big high school.
Great Taco Bell, big high school.
Big high school. There's it's so big and it looks like a prison, but it's big.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, my mom teaches there. A bunch of my aunts and cousins teach mm-hmm. there. We're out there in Brockton, but I was there.
9 years old.
9 years old, and I met the guy who I ended up dating until I was almost 20.
Well, when did you start? You didn't start at age 9.
No, thank we God. Weren't friends for a long time.
Was he the same age as you?
Yeah, we were.
Okay, see, I always thought there was something bad here, like a sailor.
No,
he's
sailors
will do anything.
Good sailor.
Like he's like picking up some really underripe fruit.
He's like a Navy sailor. So those are like, it's weird because I feel like they turn into sailors, like sailor stereotypes later.
Yeah.
But they start out really like
clean and
being yelled at a lot.
Great fashion too.
Great fashion.
I mean,
a lot of different suits.
That's a lot of women are attracted to the sailor look. And I don't blame them.
Yeah. I never was. I fell into the sailor life.
Okay.
I didn't choose it. We were dating through high school. And then he was like, I'm joining the Navy. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right. And then all of a sudden the uniforms were involved. I had to help him memorize this book called Reef Points.
Reef Points. I want to look this up now. Points.
If you're going to the Naval Academy, you
got to Naval Academy.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like
Annapolis. Like so that's fancy sailor.
Yeah, that means you're smart.
Yeah, but he didn't drink throughout high school, and mm-hmm. then when then like he like waited till he was 21. He was a very by the book guy.
Right.
But once he hit 21, it like immediately went like 0 to 9,000.
Wow.
Yeah. But we weren't dating by that time, so it wasn't my business. But we still meet up, and like I was like, fuck, I can't keep up with this guy. And I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you can party, right?
Yeah, I could, well, you know, in very small groups of people I've met before.
I guess I mean, like, when I say party, I mean, like, take down, like, absorb chemicals in a way that doesn't kill you.
Yeah, I can fuck up a, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings in Brockton with my ex-boyfriend once a year.
Oh, really? And you'll just have, like, 19 beers?
Yeah, well, he goes for it, man. He's got, like, some credit card that the American taxpayers are really funding these annual get-togethers. It's fun.
So you'll meet up with him still?
Yeah,
and
we're
just
good friends.
Rip up some fucking Crown and Coke.
We'll just catch up. There is, I don't like he lives in Hawaii now. He lives in
Shaka.
Yeah, he's a Hawaii guy, but he works on Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That got bombed by the Japanese.
I know. He's bringing it up.
You can't try. Evidently, back then.
I'm kind of just like, get over it, man. You weren't there.
I wasn't there. Yeah, the Pearl Harbor thing is a big sticking point for a lot of people. It's a big deal, you know.
It's like move on. I don't know.
Moveon.org.
But he gets fucked up a lot in Hawaii with his friends.
I would get fucked up as hell if I lived in Hawaii.
Right? It sounds like fun.
I met somebody I went to college with the other day. Mm-hmm. He came to a show, and he mentioned...
Do you like when people do that?
No, I don't like it. Either. Like an old person injecting themselves into my comedic life?
Yeah.
I do not like it.
And then you can't predict the show that they come to. And then I feel like they always come to, like, the weirdest show. And
you got to talk to them afterwards.
Yeah. They
it's like, hey.
Ugh. Okay, hey. What happened?
Well, this guy, nothing really happened, but he basically is like, yeah, I split time between here and Maui. It's like, what the fuck?
How dare you?
Yeah.
Man, I've never been to Hawaii. It seems nice, though.
You should go.
Yeah, everyone wants me to go.
That's what I always tell people, is that, honestly, if you...
You should, listen.
You know what?
Why?
You should actually go.
Why?
That's my Colin Jost.
It's
like.
He probably owns one of the Hawaiian islands.
I want to make like a 30-second sketch of Colin Jost convincing a homeless man. Oh, you should go to Hawaii, actually.
You know what really mellow you out?
Hey.
Like, I feel a lot of anger coming off of you. And
honestly, you know what would help you out? You should go to Hawaii. The weather's great. There's no snakes there. Little bugs because the trade winds. It's great. You'd actually probably have a great time in Hawaii.
And there's some great. I mean, have you ever swam with sharks? Wait, you never swam with sharks before?
How am I going to get to Hawaii?
He's like, oh well, if you can get there, I know a lot of people there, and I'd be happy to set something up for you.
Do you have? I don't have a phone. Do you have my cell? Honestly, seriously,
I'll leave my number with you, and if you come across a phone, you know, just drop me a line. I'm a really nice guy.
Yeah, the thing is, there's a bunch of islands. A lot of people are really into Kauai. It's very natural, like Whole Foods. But honestly, I mean, I think Maui's coming back online, becoming a real, like, great place because you've got the North Shore.
Are these real Hawaii facts?
Well, yeah.
Hell yeah. I was like, you could have been saying anything, I would have believed you.
It's sort of true, but it also is true. I feel like Kauai is like Whole Foods.
Okay.
In the sense where I love Whole Foods, but also I realize Whole Foods is inherently... I don't know.
I love the Whole Foods, too.
Yeah.
I hang out at the Whole Foods sometimes.
I've always wanted to get arrested at a Whole Foods. I feel like...
That's kind of hard. I like that.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great to be like, oh, how did you get arrested? I was destroying a display at Whole Foods.
It's just dismantling it.
Yeah.
I used to have the only, like... bar hookup I've ever had was at the Whole Foods bar downtown. So that was like...
Oh, that's the new one.
That's the new one. And my friend Margo worked there, and that was the only place where, I don't know, everyone like got a bar where they're like, oh, yeah, I know someone there, so like we can drink for free. But it was like that was just the Whole Foods.
You ever stole groceries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been caught, too.
Really? How recently?
Pay a fee. I was in college.
A fee?
I had to pay. It was
a fee? You mean a fine? Is that what you mean? I had to pay a fee. I'm sorry.
I had to pay some sort of fee. I think it was like, it was $375, which at the time was more money than I had.
That's a shitload of money.
I was stealing chips.
That's a classic poverty tax right there, isn't it?
Ugh, it's bullshit.
God, isn't that weird how that shit works?
It sucks. Yeah.
It's pretty funny how there's the people who can afford the least get charged the most.
I was surprised it was that. I was so scared. I thought I was going to get arrested. Like, I didn't know how that shit worked, but I was just getting good at shoplifting.
Well, so, walk me through this.
When I was in college, I was like paying my way through college and paying rent. And
where
like,
is this, by the way?
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah. So I made it 20 whole minutes outside of Brockton.
Okay.
I was living in Boston. And like.
You went to Harvard?
I didn't. No, that'd be sick. No.
You should tell people you went to Harvard.
I actually went to MIT. No, okay. I went to Emerson.
Okay.
So I was there. But
this is good, I guess. All right.
It's, you know, I honestly didn't enjoy my experience there. That was pretty bad.
Okay. But you finished.
I did finish, but I feel like that's, I don't know. I always get, like, really jealous of comedians who are like, yeah, then I just dropped out of school. I was
dude,
like,
me
well,
too. I used to get
you.
That same, I used to be the same way, but then I only recently got over it.
I think I realized, like, that was, like, maybe tied to some class issues that I have.
What, the dropping
the
out
The dropping
thing?
Out, yeah, where I felt like, because it was, like, such a financial commitment to go to college that I'm like, I'm not going to drop out. Like, I can't afford to, like, blow all this money that, like, and, like, I'd, like, worked full-time through college. And so I was like, well, then I won't have, then I'll just be, like, working at Brugger's Bagels until I die. Like, I have to finish.
Yeah, that's, even though I didn't yeah, that like makes it. Sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you were. I want to have like, what's some good shoplifting music? Like a good bed music.
Oh
like,
yeah,
like telling a tale, almost like a old school NPR.
Oh, like throw some Ira Glass shit on.
Something that's got that sort like instrumental. It's so hard to find music like this nowadays. It's so hard to find good music these days.
It's just tough. I think that it's just because they're not making it like they used to. That's my main
They're just not making it. You know, I just typed in. I typed in something. It's really bad. I typed in Moody Instrumentals. Let's see what it sounds like.
Oh, I bet it'll bring you to that guy Kevin's website. Who's that guy Kevin who makes all the royalty-free stuff?
Oh, really? I don't know. Who's that?
Oh, man. I don't know. Everyone uses his shit. Kevin.
Well, this is a famous song right here. This is not Moody. This is the most evocative shit ever.
Well, let me try it. I'll try it.
This is like a French girl experimenting with a rose.
I could work with this. So
you were in college.
I was in college, and you know, it was my first time living with a boyfriend. We were living on Commonwealth Avenue in Boston, Massachusetts. The year is 2012, 13, somewhere in
there. Great year.
It was a great year. And we lived across the street from a large grocery chain called Shaw's.
Shaw's.
And so, I love Shaw's.
Yeah.
And I ran out of money and lived across the street from a 24-hour grocery store.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, I'll start stealing.
Right.
And I was pretty good at it. And, you know, it was easy to get out. But one night...
How were you stealing, though? Were you, like, false bottom of a bag?
Oh, I would just
large
do...
Large coat?
I would usually do... Yeah, I would do, like, tote bag. The tote bag situation. I've always been a tote bagger. And then I would do the thing where you go to self-checkout and you pay for, like, two things and just kind of take the rest.
Okay.
Which, yeah. So I was doing that. But then when I tried to do it after a college party, and it was sloppy work.
Because you were drunk.
I drank.
You were drunk.
Yes. And my boyfriend was there, too. And he tried to... I would still put the onus on him because he took, like, a sushi tray or something like that. Like, he was trying to go for too much.
Yeah. Get greedy.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were crossing the street across. We had to just cross some train tracks to get back to our apartment. It was like grocery store, train tracks, our apartment. And no one realized we'd stolen until after we'd left the building, which
why?
I don't. The security guard. We like power walked out because we were not being very smooth, and the security guard was like, "Hey!" But we were already out, and we literally just had to cross the tracks. So we should have just. Gone home, but I got scared, and so I stopped, and then we went back. I regret it so much because then we had to pay $375 each, a fee.
Each of you?
Each of us.
Do the cops come?
No. No, I'm pretty sure it happened there 900 times a day, and most people just didn't stop.
But why would you have to pay a fee then? Because they can just say, you can just say, no, I'm not gonna.
We didn't get.
Because they can't
food.
Restrain you.
I think they were just counting on us being scared, and they were right.
It's weird how you don't know what you can get away with. It's,
yeah.
But then when you do, it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter.
Right. I'm like, man, I wish I had tried to get away with more shit. I was very much, and still kind of, just a very much like a roll over and die type of person.
I'm just like, just shoot me.
Yeah, I'm like, I accept your consequence.
Just kill me.
Your arbitrary consequence is fine with me.
This is a cool sound right here. I'm trying to achieve a small amount of phasing. See, this is good phasing here.
This is nice.
Phasers. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about how, you know how the whole idea of relativity is supposed to work?
I have known, but I forget.
Like, you know that thing when you get shot, if you go on like a long space mission for light years away.
Yeah.
And then because you're so far away, and the people who were leaving, they are stationary and you're moving.
Right.
If you were to go back, they would be like significantly older than you. You know
the
whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
And so I was thinking about that yesterday because I was thinking about Star Wars.
Star Wars?
I was thinking about Star Wars and how, you know, they jump into hyperspace a lot.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, oh, wouldn't they, anytime they went back to a place, wouldn't they be old as shit?
Oh, does that just not apply to them in that world? They just
I guess it doesn't. I just thought about that because I was thinking about.
You would think
know.
That they would. Everyone who's into that is so like anal about shit. You'd think they would have thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't Google it, but they also have like gravity on the ships that shouldn't have. There's all kinds of right. There's all kinds of stuff in there that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that much about Star Wars.
About space.
Yeah, I had to watch
You're
an
not
Avengers
a Star
movie.
War?
I'm not a Star Wars. I'm not an Avenger. I'm not any of those guys.
Is there like a name they call for? Hey, she's a girl in the Star Wars.
She's a really.
Oh my God! This hey, check it out. This girl's in the Star Wars.
Oh my God! There's, God. I used to resent those girls so much.
What girls who are in a, two girls who were like nerd friends?
Yeah, I've since gotten over it.
Yeah,
but you're just like, man. Now we all gotta watch these movies. I don't want to watch these movies.
You didn't watch them?
No. I've seen. The first one.
You mean like the original ones, like the OG crusty ones?
I saw the first crusty one.
You mean A New Hope?
New Hope.
Yeah.
And dun, then I dun, saw... Dun, 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 dun. That's their main song. Dun, 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 dun. And that actually comes back in later movies, too.
We got Sue. And Nike brought to you by Joe Rogan. Star Wars.
My favorite brand and my hero?
New Balance.
Sentence? Holy shit. I tried to get Sauconys recently. Have you ever gotten like... cool, like, sneakerhead sneakers? You ever dip your toe in that?
Yeah, I dipped it a little bit.
Yeah?
But I realized it's not for me. But I have dipped.
I tried to, and I tried, like, six different ways to get the same fucking shoe. And I kept fucking it up. I panicked. I realized that I don't have the constitution for it. And
for what? I don't understand what you're talking about.
For buying really expensive sneakers. It was really hard.
You mean because, like, it makes you feel bad or you sort of feel, like, nervous about spending the money?
I do get nervous. Like, even if I have it, I get nervous spending a lot on one item just because I just, like, it doesn't make sense in my head. But this one, I was like, I knew it was coming out. It was a Saucony sneaker that had the Dunkin' Donuts logo on it.
Ooh,
I was like,
Dunkin'. Oh, you're from the East Coast.
Big deal.
Dunkin'.
In Brighton, Massachusetts, there's 32 Dunkin' Donuts.
Are you fucking kidding me?
There's so many
That's
of them.
That's not possible.
It's a city. There's 100,000 people
but
there.
It's a suburb of Boston.
But it's a big, 100,000 people live there.
32 Dunkin'
and
Donuts?
And we need all 32 Dunkin'
How
Donuts.
How many Dunkin' Donuts are there in Boston? Are there like 1,000?
There's a million. Yeah, like 52% of Boston real estate is Dunkin'
Jesus
Donuts.
Jesus Christ.
But there, I was like... Yeah, I gotta get this shoe. I had a bunch of friends who were planning to get the shoe. Like it was.
Oh, this was like a shoe drop.
It was a shoe drop.
Oh, see, I've never been a person or even tried to be like, oh, I'm gonna get these ones that drop.
This was the first shoe that I knew that some came out. It comes out near the Boston Marathon. Whole big thing.
And I was like, I got to get them. And I, like, timed it out. And then I just, like, I fucked up buying it the first time because, like, the size, something about the size. And then I ordered some, and then I ordered the wrong size the second time because I panicked. And then I got the refund. And then I bid on them on eBay twice. And I kept losing. And then they released children's sizes, and I thought I ordered what I thought was a large child size.
Uh-oh.
And then I got baby shoes. Like, ordered Dunkin' Donuts baby
Do
shoes.
Do you still have them?
No, I had to call and be like, look, I was trying to get, I thought that.
I thought these were not baby shoes.
I didn't know these were shoes for babies. Yeah. The kids' shoes, they don't make any fucking sense.
No, they don't. Well, I don't really know. I just agree with you. I tacitly agreed.
Well,
honestly, I really don't know about kids' shoes.
I've learned a lot this week on
Hi,
the phone.
I don't know about kids' shoes.
You gotta learn. It's like that Hemingway poem.
What's the Hemingway poem?
The baby shoes that weren't worn is his
Oh, that's
sad
right.
poem.
Should we read it right now?
Yeah, I think we should. And then, but like, picture when you hear it, think about the little Dunkin' Donut shoes I almost got. With kids' shoes, as the numbers get bigger, the shoes get smaller.
Oh, this is this world's shortest poem, right?
Yeah.
So this doesn't even need music, does it? Maybe it should have some music that's like, that makes this sort of cringy.
Yeah, I think
it's almost antithetical
it's
to the
so
music.
Corny.
Yeah, I think I was running one time and sometimes I get emotional when I go running.
You do?
Yeah, because like, you know, like it gives you a bunch of endorphins and it makes me like want to cry. Sometimes I cry when I'm running.
You get like overwhelmed or like just sad?
More like a flush of emotion, like about thinking about something. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's so great. Or that's so sad. A lot of times I'll think about people I love dying. Sort of like the idea, like, what would I do if this person I love died? And it's sort of like, it's not, I will say I sort of, it's almost like I revel in the, and the deliciousness of the sadness a bit. And I think I one time thought that way about how sad lost dog signs are, how like how deeply sad that is.
It seems so hopeless.
Oh, God, it's just the worst.
Like, especially older ones.
Just don't even, ugh, I hate even, just even
it
thinking about it.
Like, sad.
It's super sad. So let's see here. I got something that's going to be antithetical to this.
Mm.
This is some guy named C.W. Stone King.
Sounds great.
This is not going to work.
Okay.
This sounds like fucking. And we were Tom Waits was sucking my dick. Tom Waits' dick is so wide you can't even get in your mouth. How about this? Let's see. This is Chris Forsythe.
Okay.
Solar Motel. This guy's amazing, by the way. Chris Forsythe. Holy shit. Everything this guy does is so good. This is the best one.
Okay. Oh, this is great.
This is too good, though. This isn't like. This isn't evocative
this
enough
me
for
of a bus.
Yeah. I played this song
really
on the podcast before.
Bus.
This is Chris Forsythe, the Solar Motel Band, Dreaming in the Non-Dream.
Oh, this is nice.
It's 6 minutes long and it only gets better. Oh, it's just one of the best songs ever.
What's Chris Forsythe's deal? How'd you find
out? I don't know. I think I found him randomly on every once in a while Spotify Discovery Weekly. It really taps
Comes
my spine.
Through?
Oh, sometimes it gives me what I want.
Whew.
Then other times it just tells me more about the things I've already moved on from.
Yeah.
Okay. This is taking way too long for us. Something that's not even that funny.
I feel kind of attacked by my Spotify Discover playlist a lot.
Really?
Yeah, because I'll just get into a song that's really stupid, and I'll listen to it like 900 times, and then it'll suggest 900 other stupid songs.
Oh, really? Based on that?
Yeah, and then I'm just like, man, I think you're coming down at me hard. Oh, okay.
For sale. Dick. Baby shoes. Never worn.
It's sad.
That's it.
But they're Dunkin' Donuts baby shoes.
For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn. What do you think about old Ernest Hemingway?
I don't know. I think I read a book of his in high school.
I used to be really into his books in high school. Like,
you were
I was into it. Like the whole, all the masculinity of it and the all the stuff, all the trappings of Hemingway. And as I got older, I haven't reread any of his books in maybe 20 years. So I'm curious what I think about it now.
I know. It's like, I know it's like kind of, I don't know. It never really appealed to me, but I didn't think about why that was. But it's so like macho.
It is
shit.
Super bro-y.
Yeah. I like hearing stuff about like how he was like just like drunk in Florida for like the last year. Like, those stories are fun because then you're just like, oh yeah, these people are fucking mess.
He also did shoot himself. He killed himself with a shotgun.
He did kill himself.
Which is something where that's like the most brutal way to die, I feel like, is just doing a shotgun death. It's a real, like,
I mean,
it's a real man way.
I think that
it really is.
Not
like,
to come down on him too hard, but.
Not to say kill yourself, but if you want to kill yourself and you got some big old balls, you should do a shotgun to the head.
It seems easy to fuck up, too. Like, it just seems like you could miss and then graze and then just, it would be embarrassing.
One of the saddest things I ever heard in my life that's a true story, not a poem or imagining a loved one dying, it was I was working on this show like 10 years ago, and I was taking some oxygen. And if you ever get a chance, if you're like a medic on set or any place and they're friendly and they're kind of amenable to like, you know, doing what they can, ask for oxygen.
How does that, like, just like a mask?
Yeah, they'll hook you up with oxygen. And you will feel like a fucking $10,000 bill.
You'll feel better. That's great.
It is like a true, it's ridiculous.
It makes sense, but I would never be, I feel like I'd never be brave enough to ask for it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you make friends, if you feel like you're in the mode, you just say like, I'm just not, I'm really not feeling very good. I'm feeling dehydrated. Could I get some oxygen possibly? And sometimes they'll just be, they want to hook you up.
So they just hooked it up?
They're like, yeah, they hooked it up.
Wow.
It was an MTV show in the middle of the fucking desert, so it's like it wasn't like a lot of oversight.
They like have to.
Yeah, because I was flagging. Yeah. Does that make sense, flagging?
I think I know what you mean, right?
I say that word a lot, like when I'm like, you know, you're sort of petering out.
You're like wilting a little bit.
Yeah, I'm flagging. So I was flagging, and they hooked me up with some O2, and it blasted me. As we're getting the O2, and the ambulance, this person was talking about how, I don't know how we started talking about this, but he was saying how he just went to, I think it was actually a husband and wife who were, they were medics.
Oh, okay.
And they were talking about how, I think the producer on the show asked them, because he's like a fucking, he loves everything that's terrible. Like, I think he asked, what's the worst thing you've ever seen?
Oh, that's such a specific vibe for a person. Mm-hmm. Like, they just need to know everything that's wrong quickly before they know what your last name is.
Tell me the worst thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's a lot of podcasts. They're like, tell me what the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Tell me how many times you saw someone you love die.
Right.
He asked them that, and they said, we just got a call last week of a suicide attempt, and it was a failed suicide attempt with a handgun, and how the person, like, you know, blasted their face out, but they were still alive. And then I think maybe the next day or something close to that, the dad, this was the son, and the dad did the same thing. Like,
whoa,
that's depraved.
And also lived?
Two double failed gun suicides.
God.
Just like, oh, it's so grisly.
That's so sad.
Because now you've almost killed yourself, and now you're just, your skull has been blasted, and you have a ton of medical bills, and like,
right.
Oof, nasty.
I hope that they, you know, talked to each other after that.
Maybe, yeah. Who knows? Maybe they're like, maybe they're big time motivators now.
Maybe they got new leases on life and now they tour around bothering everybody.
I think chances are not, right?
I don't know. I feel like you could really spin that in a kind of fucked up way. Be like, I attempted suicide. My dad attempted suicide.
I attempted suicide.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we have this show on TLC where we flip houses.
We flip houses.
I think that they should get a new lease on life and then we should get, I would watch the show about the,
what's called face flippers.
The father-son suicide attempters. They live, they get their realtor's licenses, and then they start to flip. They start to flip. Like the flip, what is that show? There's a show where like brothers who flip. There's
Flippers.
A million. The Flip Brothers. They always make the show, they always make the house so ugly though.
I believe that's because most people who run those shows have what is called no taste.
Yeah. It's weird.
Expensive.
My cousin's trying to do that right now.
Get into flipping?
No, she's like trying to, she got her first house like right outside of Brockton, which is like major victory for the family.
Yeah.
To not live there. But she got a house with her husband right outside of Brockton, and it was like a 70s house, which I love. It's like,
I like them too, yeah.
There's like a lot of pinks and a lot of like weird surfaces, but she was like, she's very HGTV. She's like, no, we're, and so there's all these before and after pictures of like this cute little pink room, and then all of a sudden it's just like
she like spends thousands of dollars to make it fucking gray.
Oof.
And like, yeah, gross. And then I have to go in and be like, this is so nice.
Is she gonna listen?
She's not. No. She's busy teaching children how to read.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of her thing.
Yeah. It is interesting how people do that. Just like, oh, let's just wipe this clean.
Yeah.
Let's sanitize
like,
it.
Yeah, like there's no like history or like no one's ever lived there before. That's freaky to me. Like, of course people lived there before.
Yeah, and they're going to live there again.
Yeah, like you're not this, I mean, I hope someone goes back and undoes what she's doing because she's turning it into this fucking chrome freaky future house. That,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, an old pervert used to live in that house and you should lean into that.
Grow a little hair on the counter.
She showed me around his basement and he had like all this hidden shit. Like there was like parts of guns.
Damn.
Yeah, he like lived there for like ever and then I think got moved to a home, so I don't think everything got cleared out.
Yeah.
So there was like some Christ statues downstairs. There were parts of guns. There was behind a board we found a bunch of old like porn rags and shit like that.
Porn? Oh, like a magazine.
Like Playboy shit, older Playboy shit, and you're just like, we should frame these.
Yeah, they're kind of interesting.
We should pay honor to this old pervert who lived here.
But they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that, no.
Not outside old Brockty.
No, she's out of Brockton, and she's just gone. She's gone loose. She's really lost sight.
I mean, it's crazy when you let someone on the loose like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share a song?
Yeah.
What song would you like to share? I can Google it up easily.
Well, I thought about it, and I'll share a song first that is just like a song that I've been having fun with lately.
What is it?
It's Squidward Nose. Have you heard Squidward Nose by Cupcake?
No, I've never heard Squidward.
Squidward, like the
Squidward Nose. Here it is. Is this featuring KG Prince? By Joey Trapp and KG Smokey or no?
No, it's by Cupcake.
Okay, so Cupcake is the artist.
Yes, yes, but with two Ks.
Wow.
She's like 21-year-old rapper who's like, I love all of her stuff.
There's a lot of very young rap. It seems to be the time you do that because it's like you have the most energy. What album is it? Oh, so it's Cumcake?
No, Cupcake.
Okay, what album is it off of? There's Eden, there's Euphorize, Queen Elizabeth, Audacious.
It's just off of the single. I think it's just a single right now.
Squidward Nose. I found it. Here it is. This is it. Okay, I'm playing it.
Yeah, this is it.
How did you even find this?
How did I originally find it? I think I might have just found it on YouTube. Like, I think that was where all her, like, stuff usually goes. I'm just subscribed to her.
Like an algorithm led you.
Oh, I'm, like, subscribed to her, so...
Oh, but how did you subscribe to her initially?
I don't remember. I might have just done, like, a Spotify list or something like that. But it's so funny. It's so funny. In my zone, I'm ass naked at home. He knowing just what I'm on. I'm posted up like Malone. Get so much neck is wrong that I should smell like cologne. Swallow this dick, it's gone. He's searching for it on Chrome. His dick smaller than my toes. Yeah, yeah, smaller than my toes. His dick smaller than my toes. I read the rap Squidward Nose.
Squidward is a SpongeBob character.
Yeah, she's just saying she'd rather fuck his nose.
Yeah.
The music video is also, it came out like I think 2 weeks ago. It's fucking wild. John Early's in it.
Oh, cool.
He's somewhere in those Cupcake.
Is that just a coincidence? Or how does that work?
That what?
Well, he's in that video.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how they would have found out about each other. But I was like, oh, cool. Because I've followed her since she was like a teenager or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, she's been like putting stuff out for a while.
Cupcake.
She's great.
Two K's.
I really like her. I think she's, I want to say she's from Philadelphia, but I might be thinking of someone else. Let me check.
It says here.
But all her songs are so gross.
Bold and outspoken Chicago rapper.
Well, Chicago, okay.
She achieved viral success with a critically acclaimed with her brazen, unapologetic, explicit lyrics. That channeled the likes of Look Him. His dick smaller than my toes. Yeah, yeah, smaller than my toes. His dick smaller than my toes. I read the rap Squidward Nose. Wanna fuck another girl, nigga? Are you dumb? Dummy. I'm a Gemini, so that's really a threesome. Yeah. Rubbing on your dick till my fingers numb. Big pussy, it don't come with a cherry. I got a plum. Yeah, daddy, daddy, she's got a plum.
She's got a plum, baby.
Oh, is that what she said? I thought she said pum, like pum-pum.
Oh, no, she got a plum. The music video goes into all these visuals in detail. We see her fucking the Squidward nose.
Who is the person there with the dick the size of toes?
There's no guy. Okay. So there's it takes place underwater, and Cupcake is playing a mermaid who then fucks Squidward's nose. And it's, you know, no one's playing Squidward. He's just, I guess, he's in the sand.
Right.
And then his nose is sticking out, and she's riding the Squidward nose.
How does that work with SpongeBob being used like that?
No, I was wondering that when I first heard it. I'm like, you can just say you're fucking Squibber's nose. I don't think that she's like got the money to like pay Nickelodeon to say she's fucking Squibber's nose.
I guess maybe, I don't know. SpongeBob's weird, right? Because SpongeBob gets used so much for different things. Like it gets used.
It's like in every meme ever made. I don't know. I guess what is the IP issue there?
I mean, whatever it is, it's out of the box.
It's out of the box. The Squibber nose music video dropped. I love that song so much. It's like, it makes me laugh, and it's also good.
I think I would be very intimidated by Cupcake.
Oh, I would be. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to say. I think I would just let her talk to me. You know, like when you meet someone and you're like, you set the tone, and I'll match it as best I can.
Right. She's the kind of person who, if she asked me a question, and I would only be able to tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she also, like, she's also got, like...
She's a judge?
She's also a lawyer. She's like, got depression stuff that she like, writes about and talks about a lot. It's weird. She's, like, a very internet-y musician where she releases these weird... I guess so, yeah, where she, like, releases all this, like, weird, funny music, but then, like, also, like, writes seriously about
interesting
her depression and stuff.
Seems like everyone maybe is depressed now.
Yeah, it's kind of hot right now.
It is hot, but it also seems to be true.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like people are lying.
It's a weird thing because you don't know how to, it's unfolding in an interesting way.
Yeah, and I'm like, I wonder if it's just like, is it just more okay to talk about now, or are people becoming more depressed, or like, I wonder what the balance is there.
I don't know. I always think about the same stuff. I always think it's like because of, I mean, I hate to say it, but I always feel like everyone talks about it all the time, but social media is such a...
No. Is it perhaps toxic for us? Is it maybe not so good?
Yeah, it's perhaps not so good.
Unpack that.
Yeah.
Help me understand. No,
I don't think it's a double-edged sword. It's one of those things where it's like this stuff that we get so much joy out of also does, like I said, it's a double-edged sword, right? If something does so much good, but also does so much harm along with
it. Like hurts. Yeah. I like, it's weird because I do it a lot, but it makes me mostly unhappy.
Did you ever take like extreme breaks or micro breaks?
Not really. It is weird. Like, No, I wish that I did, but I get like nervous thinking about.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Doing that.
It's like, weird. I think our brains are being rewired.
Yeah. Where I just like I'm worried that I would be complete. Like everyone I know would forget about me, because.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you even think about like, and I feel guilty like feeling this way, but it's like I have a close friend from college, and we stay in regular touch, but she's like the kind of person who will be online and then she'll be gone for a couple months and then maybe she'll come back. And I like interact with her or like text her or and like think about her because we live in different places. I think about her less when she's not.
Oh, yeah. It's that thing. What's it called? You don't see it. You don't know
like
about it.
Yeah, like out of sight, out of mind.
It's totally true.
Yeah. And so I was like, man, like there's some degree of truth to it, and that scares me.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't want my friends to forget.
We'll take a quick break here on Live at Tape with Jamie Loftus, and we'll come right back. Ooh. This is a song by Donald Byrd called "The Weasel." Nice.
Have you been to Brazil before?
I haven't. South America scares me, to be honest.
Really? I've never been. I've never really thought about going.
It's just too crazy.
There's a lot going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm Philip Glass. Voz do Vivo, which I believe means a voice of life.
Oh.
I'm guessing that means that. What do you think that means?
Vivo? That sounds right.
A voz de vivo.
Vivo.
Vivo's got to be life.
Vivo sounds like a water bottle company.
Oh, yeah. Vivo. We at Vivo strive to be.
We here at Vivo. At Vivo, our customers are the primary reason we get involved.
It's like a girl boss.
We started Vivo based upon product outreach we did in the Philippines. And I met a young girl named Matilda, and she was so sweet to me that I just knew I had to save the world for her.
Yeah. I mean, I really just want Matilda have access to the best water possible, because I don't know if you knew this, but there's young women of a certain age don't have access to water. And that's, we find out that 20% of the world's women of a certain age don't have access to clean water. And so it became my goal to design a water bottle that doubled as a tampon.
That's right.
And it saved a lot of lives.
When Jen and I were at Barnard, we studied the Philippines abroad for 2 months, and that's where we met.
And we really, I mean, we didn't talk to anyone else in the Philippines when we were there. We met each other, and we stayed together.
Just the two of us. We slept with a lot of local men. I had a great time. I had a hell of beers.
And then we realized, a lot of beers.
Hey, sharks. Jen and I are seeking a $10 million valuation for a company called Pussy Jammer Waterman. For Vivo.
Women
in the third world countries of the Philippines, such as our friend Matilda here, mm-hmm. they suffer deeply with lack of water and with basic hygienic supplies.
And unfortunately, as you can see, Matilda has passed away, but we had her stuffed to continue to bring on pitches.
That's why we call this the Matilda Project. Hi, sharks.
Hi, sharks. For every $14 water bottle we sell, we will give one prayer to Matilda's family.
And for every one prayer we give, we will give a donation to the name of St. Christ Church We'll get there. Every water bottle. Hi, sharks. Hi.
Sorry, Jenna gets so nervous at the. She just loves you, Mark. She like has such a crush on you.
Hi, sharks. I'm Sarah Conway. Hi, Mark. This is my friend Jen Conway. We have the same last name, but we're not sisters.
No.
We met in the Philippines studying abroad, and we started Vivo because we met a little girl named Matilda, and she died because she didn't have enough water and she didn't have tampons available to her.
Here, I've got her right under my arm here.
As you can see, she's happy even though she's dead.
Yeah.
That's thanks to Vivo. Hi, sharks. For every $14 we sell, we'll give one prayer to the local Filipino villagers. Also, we'll give one shoe to a child.
Mm-hmm. Just one. So really, if you get two, that's a full pair. But it is important to know that we never give two shoes to the same child. That's just kind of our policy here.
Exactly. Because Jen thought of this idea. What we do is we give one shoe to one kid, and then we give another shoe to a kid on a different continent, and then you become shoe pals. It's like pen pals, but you share the shoes.
And if they stop writing each other letters, unfortunately, their shoe is taken away. So it's an incentive to staying friends.
It's an incentive. And we found that through video games that we both share, we realized that you have to win the game to play the game.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true, and that is the name of my major at Barnard, is I win the game, I have a master's in winning the game, and I have a doctorate in crushing the game. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. We love your game. We love sports. We don't like watching sports, but we love sports.
But we've been.
Hi, sharks.
Hi, sharks.
Hi, sharks. I'm seeking a $5 million valuation in murdering somebody.
Hi, sharks. What if I told you I could stick a knife into my head and live?
Hi, sharks. My name's Jen, and this is my friend Jen as well. What if I told you that I could stick a knife in her head, and I could stick a knife in my head at the same time? We would be able to share thoughts.
We value this idea at $10 billion, and we will not be talked down. What about you, Mr. Wonderful? Isn't that the name of one of them, Mr. Wonderful?
Yes, I'm Mr. Wonderful. Look, I love the idea.
Hi, Mr. Wonderful.
I love the idea of sticking a knife in both of your heads, but I don't have a lot of experience with knives, and for that reason, I'm out.
Oh, well, I mean, we provide the knife. Here at Vivo, we provide the knife.
I know, I just don't think, I think that Damon could probably help with this. I just,
for that reason, I'm out. For that reason, I'm out. I have no interest in sharing knives.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wonderful, do you have a wife? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a sister? Do you have a sister? Do you have a wife? Do you have a daughter?
Do you have any proof of sales at all?
There, I'll show you the sales if you let me finish my demonstration.
Oh, okay, so now this is about me. Now you're putting
no,
it on me.
No, I'm just asking, do you have a wife, do you have a daughter, do you have a sister? Will you watch me stick a knife into my head and my friend's head?
Sharks, when I ask you,
when's the last time you saw your wife trying to kill her friend with a knife? I'm not saying that anyone has ever seen this happen, and that really is erasure.
Erasure?
Erasure.
Oh.
It's erasure.
What is that?
Erasure is...
a complex concept.
Is it? Really? Is that a thing?
No. It's a, well, I feel, but people say, we use that on the show I do a lot because...
Your podcast.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Regretfully, I have a podcast.
Not no, regretfully.
It's I like doing it. It's fun.
Yeah.
I do it with my friend Caitlin Durante, and we just talk about movies and the, how women are portrayed in them. So
it's called The Bed Show. Is that my saying that correct?
Bechdel. The Bechdel.
Oh, it's a CH. It makes a K.
Come on.
The Bechdel test, right?
So it's, yeah. It's from right. Alison Bechdel, who's like a really good cartoonist. She, have you ever seen like ads for that musical Fun Home?
No, I've never even heard of that. Fun Home?
Yeah, it's like okay. This huge Broadway musical.
Alison Bechdel wrote it?
Alison Bechdel, yeah.
Wow. Isn't it interesting how many things that are huge, successful, and good that you can have literally no awareness
that
of now?
No one knows. Yeah.
Like, literally, I can just have no awareness of.
I feel like that about good, yeah. Most of YouTube. Like, there are things that, like,
oh my
billions
God, yeah.
of people have seen that I just don't even have a passing awareness of.
Yeah.
It's freaky.
It's like this thing now where I think it helps. It makes me more depressed and sometimes less depressed. Because it's like the thing where you have to be like, oh, wait, nothing matters because...
You can't know. I don't know. Like, I used to be a bigger faker about knowing what shit is.
Yeah.
But now I try to do it. I try to do it less, only for self-preservational reasons.
I was a hardcore faker about that shit. Because then in the indie rock scene, you have to be, oh, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that fucking tape.
I think I heard the single.
This little thing.
Yeah. No, I like.
Talk about the Bechdel. The Bechdel. It's called the Bechdel test?
Bechdel cast.
Bechdel cast.
But it's
about the Bechdel
based
test.
On the Bechdel test.
Can you talk about the Bechdel test? I think I know what it is, but I like hearing about it.
Yeah. It's. Well, Johnny. Hi, Sharks.
Look, just so you know, I think I fucking know what it is, all right?
I'm pretty sure. But could you tell me in detail what
I'm pretty
is?
Sure I fucking know what this Bechdel test is, but.
But from top to bottom, hit me with what it is.
I'll let a woman explain it to me.
Which is really progressive of you and really,
thank you.
Yes.
Oh, fuck, explain it fast.
Yes, ally. Okay. It is.
Ally?
Yes.
Okay.
Johnny Pemberton, ally?
Ally, much.
Wow.
Yes. I'm a door opener.
You're ushering us in. Well, it's just a test that requires that two female identifying characters with names talk to each other about something other than a man for two lines of dialogue.
Wow, it's so easy.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much very easy to fail. Like, almost every movie fails it, right?
Most movies, yeah. It's like less and less as time goes on. But like we just did an episode on the first Avengers movie, and it like doesn't even come close. Because in most movies, like action movie, there's like not even two women in the same scene.
Yeah.
But like the first Star Wars doesn't pass because there's like one female character basically the whole time. And
what's the oldest, biggest movie you know that does pass?
That does pass. The Wizard of Oz passes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and like Gone with the Wind passes.
Okay.
Because it's just like there's more. I mean, it's just like you just need like two
more female
characters. Yeah. Because usually there's like one, or there's like one and then two separate ones, and
right.
they never meet each other, and it's weird.
Yeah, it's so funny how that. Yeah, it's interesting how that is. It's just everywhere.
Yeah, or like there's some that come close, but or like if there are two women. In the scene, they're just talking about, like, the main character who's, like, usually a man.
It's Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
David.
I really actually don't like how you're treating Brian. Brian's my brother, and you're really being a bitch to Brian. And she's like, listen, I love Brian with all of my heart, but...
Brian David Jason's very important to me.
I understand that, like, Brian's feelings are affected by my amputation, but I've kind of got an amputation to focus on. Yeah, there's this movie. My favorite example of it is this movie that I really like, but it does not. It's called The Women.
The Women. Isn't that Cassavetes' movie?
There might be one of those, but this one is George Cukor in 1939.
Oh, that's old. Okay.
It's old, not Cassavetes. Old. It was like every big female star was, at the time was in it. And like the whole like
pitch for the movie is like, a man doesn't appear in the movie the whole time.
Wow.
And it's like all women, but it still doesn't pass the Bechdel test because they're talking about some guy named Steve the whole movie. It's a 2-hour long movie, and they're talking about Steve the whole damn time.
39.
Crazy. It's a good movie, though.
How did we start talking about this? Because I was asking you.
You were asking about podcast.
Right.
Podcast.
We're talking about Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I need to watch more of it so I can do that. I can do a Shark Tank improv better.
I like Shark Tank. I only watch it when I'm like trying to get my mind off something else.
Really?
Yeah. I remember my brother and I watched like 5 hours of Shark Tank when my grandma died.
Oh, okay.
Because we were trying to get out of it. And the sharks were there for us. They came through.
Yeah, it's weird how TV, the person who taught me meditation, she always talked about how TV is like meditation.
I get that, yeah. Or like the repetition of certain shows are really, the closest I've gotten, I really admire people who can do meditation successfully because I've been trying for years and I just have not gotten there.
Can I give you a little tip here?
Give me a tip.
I would say that you use two words that probably will not help. This is a honest tip.
Yeah.
Try.
Mm-hmm.
And success. I would say that the idea of successful, this is like so dry and like preachy, but a lot of people talk about that. Some of the first things they tell you is not to evaluate your meditation as being good or bad or successful or non-successful, because then it becomes a thing where it's like antithetical to the thing of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I got in trouble a lot, not in trouble, but I got into like a pattern or a loop where I was judging my meditation, trying to be like, oh, that was a good one. I went really deep that time when really.
Oh, like this one was better than another one. That makes, I'm like pathologically afraid of doing something wrong. So that makes sense that I haven't.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it. Cause I remember I had dinner with some person who, this is transcendental meditation.
Okay.
And he also had learned it like many years before me.
Okay.
I think I mentioned something about that to him. He was like, oh, don't judge your meditation. It's not like a.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't judge it.
Josh has told me a number of times to do like TM and like.
I got him into it.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, I bugged him for years and he finally did it.
And it seems like it's like really helped him.
Yeah, he's like he does it very regularly. He never misses his meditation.
That's smart.
You should do it.
The closest I've gotten to is I've listened to like ASMR videos for years and years and years, for like maybe 6 years-ish.
They help you a lot.
That's the thing that's helped me the most.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it would, because they're so, I mean, for me, I don't like them because I have like a issue with certain mouth sounds, but.
You got to find your like lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the people explaining things, like really boring things like camouflage, is good at ASMR.
Yeah, I like that. I like, man, I fuck with a lot of ASMR. There's so many, it's weird because it's like, it's mostly like younger women who do it.
Yeah.
But it's so, I don't know, it's been so effective for me.
There is like maybe a sexual component to it.
I think for me, I think it's like a maternal thing where it's like
sexual.
Yeah. So it's like, and I fuck my mom.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of intertwined.
Are you still doing that?
Fun way. Still fucking my mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
until she, you know, is in a relationship, in my relationship, it's totally fine. It's my hall pass, and I said that at the beginning.
Oh, it's your hall pass? What do you mean?
My hall pass. It's like that.
The movie with Owen Wilson and Reed Chars.
Yeah, and then they get to, I think, I've never actually seen the movie.
Neither have I. I'm a big fan of Reed Charlesborough.
The premise is that, like, you can pick one person that you're allowed to cheat with.
Oh, your mom is your hall pass.
She's my hall pass.
I get it.
And that's fine, and that works for us.
It works for you.
That works for us.
And that helps with your brain.
Yeah.
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 You're always public about that stuff.
I try to be.
When did you remember the first time you were like, oh, I'm going to talk about this, even though I maybe feel embarrassed about it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I did. It was like shortly before I moved here.
Right.
But I got like, it tied in a lot to like, this was maybe a year before you were like, it was like common to talk about stuff like that. But there was like, I was like dating this like really abusive person that was in the Boston comedy scene. That like, and that tied into mental health stuff. So that was like the first time I'd ever.
Name names.
He fortunately now has to work
under a different name and has for years. He hasn't used his real name anywhere.
Oh, he's
a real baddie.
He's a real baddie.
God, man, people, it's amazing.
It is wild that sometimes they do genuinely go away, but
yeah,
it was just like, yeah, I mean, and he never did.
You were in a bad spot with this baddie.
Yeah, and then it was like I'd like been in like therapy and been through all this shit, and then I only decided to do it because it was like he was still kind of trying to like fuck with people in that scene.
Yeah,
and so I was like, well, no, you know, no one else is gonna say anything, so I'll say something, and you know, and people were pretty great about it, which was good.
Right.
And then, so then I kind of just like kept doing it after that.
Just talking about how like you have like issues with. Mental health. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And then that went into, like, I got diagnosed with, like, bipolar and OCD a couple of years ago.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, it's helpful. There's certain parts of it that it's like, there's certain parts of it I want to be better at having an interior life.
That's
what someone told me I've got to be better with.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's, like, something I try to keep stuck. Like, it's like, I'm comfortable sharing and it's fine, but then I'm like, I gotta keep a little for yourself.
But where do you draw the line? In this age of media sharing, and
I just don't talk about it as much if I'm like, there is like a few times where people would be like, oh, well, like speak to that when I was like not actually doing too great with it. And like not like there were times that I, you know, maybe a couple years ago would be talking about like, yeah, and then I got on meds to help with my bipolar. And that would be during a time that I was like not actually taking them. And
oh, really?
Yeah, where it just felt like there was like a sudden, like there was like a slight expectation to be willing to talk about it. But then I'm like, well, I can't really speak to it if I'm not actually making any sort of effort in that moment. Right? Or I don't know. I mean, it's like I want to encourage other people to.
Right.
But there's been times where I'm like, you should definitely get treated when I'm like completely blowing it off.
Yeah, it's really easy to give people advice about something, but it's hard, much harder to actually do the thing.
Not actually doing it. Yeah. Who knows?
It's all about exercise, clean living, and making YouTube videos every 20 minutes. That's the key.
I'm really trying to get my subscriber count.
Yes.
I think that's what I hate is like when people use shit like that to, and they're like, this is actually kind of my thing, and this is what I talk about, and I don't know. Then you're like, well, I don't want to listen to that person.
You're like a depression queen.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. And if it ever feels like that, I'm like, ugh. Back off.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's like whatever works, right?
It works for some people. I don't know.
This is this guy, John Baker.
Yeah.
I just discovered him. I don't know how, but it's like the greatest shit in the world.
Yeah, this is like cartoon.
This is from 1960 something.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't this good?
John Baker?
Yeah, this is the John Baker tapes, volume one.
This is super. I want to watch a cartoon to this.
Oh, it's the best. This is like, there's 49 tracks on this.
Yeah?
I guess he did a lot of stuff for like radio and.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Here's one, Dial M for Murder. Let's listen to this.
Go for it.
I wonder if this is for the Hitchcock movie. That sounded cool.
That's cool.
Shit.
This sounds like Hitchcocky.
Wow, this sounds like.
Fuck.
It's like taking an electricity bath.
This is really good.
Damn.
I gotta write his name down too. Fuck.
John Baker.
John Baker, you've done it. Who is called John Baker?
Wow. Lordy, lordy, look who's 40. What the hell?
This is so cool.
Jesus Christ. I'm listening to this for the first time.
Johnny, dirty dog. This sounds like it's the like introduction to something.
Yeah. Like Airwolf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good for John. I wonder if he's alive or dead. Check it out.
That's high pitch. This reminds me a bit of, there's a Morricone soundtrack called Investigation of a Citizen Under Suspicion.
Ooh, that's a good name.
And we have these new washer dryer house, and they make the fucking song from that soundtrack every time they finish. It's driving me crazy.
Oh, John Baker's life story is kind of sad.
Oh, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Says after, here's the last paragraph of his Wikipedia.
Okay.
After becoming an alcoholic, Baker recorded no further music after being sacked by the Radiophonic Workshop in 1974 and later died in poverty.
Jesus Christ. That means his music must be even better than I were even realizing.
Yeah, because he was in his 30s when he got fired, and then he never wrote again, and then he died 20 years later.
God. There's so many characters like that in the music world who are... They make stuff that's just deliciously interesting.
Yeah, usually when they're so young, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, there's also exceptions, obviously. You got Ennio Morricone, who's still out. I always wonder what it is, like how you... I always think it's people are able to keep on keeping on because they basically just work like a fucking draft horse. And so they basically they're just keeping their brain busy because a lot of those people have brains that are just so, like, they can do so much.
Right.
You have to do a ton to keep it from...
From, like, imploding? That makes sense to me. I feel like there's a lot of people like that, yeah, who, like, if you like, slow down to think about things too hard, you'll do something drastic or fucked up or...
So I always think about how people who are if you're really smart... Mm-hmm. You're really good at being negative.
Yeah.
Like, it's just as good as you are at being creative, you can be, like, really creatively negative and destructive.
And find, like, a deflection for anything and, like, an excuse to do anything.
Oh, yeah. I, like, fucking... I noticed this thing recently I've been doing. It's terrible. This is the Ennio Morricone. This is...
Oh, okay.
What is this shit? This isn't what I want.
This is elegant.
Elegante. Sì, prolossodante.
Morricone.
You ever have a thing where you are being so defensive that you, before you finish reading something that someone's written towards you, you've already read it as an
attack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I did that the other day. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, I'm fucking crazy here. This person was levying like a very beautiful high compliment, but somehow, I mean, it was so impatient and so have this like a negative future point that I'm thinking toward, that I've auto-filled this thing into being...
Like something that is like...
The opposite.
An attack on you. Yeah, I do.
Literally opposite. Like, what the fuck is... What's the brain doing when it's doing that?
It's just looking for... I don't know, because it's just
so
like...
So terrible.
Yeah, because in theory, you're like... Validation is nice.
Yeah.
Right? But then it's like, I try to find something negative or like a subtweet within a nice thought.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
It's so terrible.
It's such a waste of fucking time, dude. I'm just like, what am I? I'm like worse off. This friendship is worse off. Everything's worse off.
All right, I got defensive because, I don't know.
Did you go through with being defensive, or is it just in your head and you
caught it? It was just
it?
In my head, and I just looked, it was like a tweet. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How could I possibly, like, why would I think that? But it's obviously, like we talked at the beginning, it's all about projection. It has nothing to do with, I projected that person. Oh, you hate me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't hate me. I just...
No, you just didn't... You should have said more.
I was like, oh, I want you to hate me. I basically was asking to get hated.
I do like the whole... Like, I read the comments and I take it personally.
You do?
Time. Oh, every time.
When are you going to stop reading the comments?
I don't know. When someone physically harms me.
You should stop reading the comments.
I've...
What comments are you reading? You're not reading YouTube
all
comments,
of them.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I read YouTube comments. Facebook comments are the worst ones.
I'm shaking my head right now. I'm doing a full-on SMH.
He's assessing his age.
For real.
It's been... And I've, like, messaged commenters and tried to, like... But not, like, defensively. I'll just be like, hey, I'm trying to figure out where you were coming from on this. And I'll, like, ask them to expand on what they said and maybe why they... And I, like, had this whole toxic friendship with someone who said a mean comment about me that went on for a couple of months.
I've talked about this in the podcast a lot, but my favorite thing to do is to message someone and say, hey, you okay? Is everything okay with you?
That's way like a way funnier and better way to deal with that.
But it's because it's not. It's definitely they're not okay.
No, they're not okay. Something's not okay.
This is the song that my dryer plays when it's finished.
Ooh. It's a very moody dryer.
We gotta stop that shit. The song. Actually, I don't know what I'm saying. It's probably great, actually, that the computers play songs when they're finished with tasks.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because computers are going to start to be sentient. We have to learn how to respect them.
We've got to learn how to be friends with them now so they don't get mad at us later. I'm all for just quiet, for finding ways to be friendly with Alexa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to predict for the future before we close out with something?
Ooh.
You want to levy any predictions, predilections?
How close to the future?
Let's do a day, a week, and a year.
A day, a week, and a year. Okay. Within the day, I am going to lock myself out of my house again.
You do that a lot?
I do that like maybe 3 times a year, but I've had so many close calls recently that I'm like, it's I'm due, and I think that this is maybe my weekend because I'm going to get distracted and I'm gonna fuck it up.
Got a really good song that's about to play.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Within the week? Within a week, I'm going to meet a new person who's being nice to me. And I will drink as much as they ask me to because I'm going to be nervous to say no to a new potential friend.
Yes!
And then I'll feel like shit.
Okay.
I predict this. Every time I go to a new place, this thing happens.
Yep. I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't want to let down this person I've never met and I'll never meet again. So let me fuck up my own life for the next 48 hours.
Don't do it.
I could not do it. Okay. I got challenged recently in Indiana, and I came. I did it less than I normally would.
We're on tour?
Yeah. And there was a nice high school teacher who was having a night out and wanted to tell me how she was feeling about some things. I went in to meet her class because she asked.
Wow.
Because I cannot say no to anyone. And so I went in, met the kids. She came to the show later, and then she was like, we're going to go out together.
Let's guzzle.
We're
going
to have she was trying to bring me to a second location.
Wow.
And this time I was like, I can't go to a second location with a stranger again. Not again. Because then I get in a fight on the phone, and it's bad.
On the phone?
Well, yeah, because then I'll, like, call a friend.
Uh-oh.
I'll, like, call my boyfriend and be like, I'm in a second location and I'm scared. And they're like, well, why do you do that? I'm like, stop yelling at me. And then it's a fight.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't want to do that with a brother. It's usually my brother.
He's like the punching bag?
He ends up with the flack, yeah. Call him. I'm like, hey, I'm in somewhere called Fishtown. What is that? I called him like a few months ago. I was like, I'm in Fishtown. He's like, who are you with? I was like, I don't know. And he's just like, you gotta get out of there. And I was like, stop.
You gotta get out of Fishtown.
Yeah, I was like, stop yelling at me. You should be sensitive to my situation.
I agree.
I'm a dick about it.
Don't. Yeah.
Within the year, I'm gonna have. Let's see. Within a year.
Within a year.
I'm gonna have one of those devices in my home that sees everything I do and hears everything I do, and I'll feel fine about it.
Like an Alexa or a Google.
Yeah, but like the kind that they sit on your desk and they just.
Oh, the kind that sees you.
Yeah, the kind that sees you and the one that you talk to and you tell all about
your
feelings.
It's got a camera.
Today, I'm like, no way. There's no way. But soon, I'm gonna be like, it'll go on sale. And I'll be like, you know what? I'll give you everything in my whole life. You can see me naked every single day. And you can hear what I talk about and what I cry about.
Wow.
And you can see my pets.
I'm not gonna do it.
Check out my pets. I will. I know I will.
That's a good prediction. I guess maybe it would make me a better person if I knew I was always being watched.
But no, then you'll forget. I don't know. I feel like I'll mix and tape myself. I'll mix and tape myself bad.
Nixon
within a year,
that.
I'll Nixon tapes myself.
Well, I'll be here for you when you Nixon tape yourself,
Jamie Loftus. Thank you so much.
Where should people find you if they want to find you?
Online. On Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter.
At Jamie Loftus Help.
Uh-huh.
Go there.
Capital H-E-L-P. Help.
Yeah, help. And then on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar.
Jamie Christ Superstar. It's J-A-M-I-E.
It's true.
C-H-R-I-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
S-U-P-E-S. S-U-P-E-R-S-T-A-R.
Yeah.
J-A-M-I-E. C-H-R-I-S-T.
Uh-huh.
S-U-P-E-R-S-T-A-R. That's it, right?
That's it.
S-U-P-E-R-S-T-A-R.
A podcast network.
We made USAA insurance to help you save. Take advantage of discounts when you cover your home and your ride. Discover how we're helping members save at USAA.com/bundle. USAA. Restrictions apply.